How long's it been, Maria?
Oh, too long, Carol. Happy New Year.
I agree. We need a laugh. Welcome to Sticky Pickles. Ever found yourself stuck in a pickle, knee deep in a dilemma? Question is, what do you do now? I'm Carol.
I'm Maria. And this is season 8, episode 4 of Sticky Pickles. Hop, hop, hop to it, and morning beer.
Been a while. We've had a bit of life get in the way.
A bit of life. But we're back.
Actually, a lot of life, guys. I promise. It was more than I could handle. But we are back having a smile, which I need desperately.
I'm here to try and help with that, Carol. I'll do my damnedest. You are actually starting this week, so you're going to be making me laugh first.
I hope so.
Hop, hop, hop to it.
Let's go. Okay, Vivian. Vivian, parka zipped to her chin, Maria, hands stuffed in her pocket, an umbrella in the crook of her arm.
Yes.
Is fast walking home in this gray, cold, drizzly evening.
Very January, yes.
Very January. She's just left Don's, and not even 2 blocks away, her phone trills, you know, with a new tweet or a new text. So she shelters in a bus stop and reads, quote, two awesome meets down. Shall we go for the perfect three? Let's hop, hop, hop to it. Smiley face emoji, Donnie X.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So just then she hears like this rumble of thunder. So she slots her phone back in her pocket, fights the umbrella open and takes off run walking. What's that called? Rucking? Is that called rucking?
Prancing.
So there she is, you know, prancing home, and she's mulling over her reply. And I'm going to give you the backstory so you can help her out with it, okay?
Okay, because I would not know how to respond to that. Not that I know how to respond to any text message. People know. Carl, you know. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, I just don't.
Social anxiety. Yes.
So Don and Vivian met online and bonded over their love of mini English lops. Do you know what that is?
That's a type of bunny, isn't it? Lops as in lop.
It is.
Like super sweet. Like what? The ears are floppy, right?
The ears are super long. Yeah, you can Google it while I'm doing this because it'll make you very happy. They're adorable.
Bunnies. Okay. Mini English lops. Oh my God. Oh my
right? Like, they're the cutest flipping rabbit that I've ever seen with these really, really extra long ears, fuzz all over.
Well, how do they taste?
Maria.
Those are so adorable.
I know, right. So Vivian is pretty new to pet ownership, having just got her first studio apartment, one that allows pets.
Nice.
She has no roomies for the first time, so no one's leaving the door open or complaining or whatever. And ever since she was 10 years old, Vivian has wanted a mini English lop as a pet. But her parents said no way, claimed they would step on it, and she would never forgive them. So as soon as she was settled in her new studio, off she popped to her local pet store and brought home this ridiculously cute mini English lop, all white, she calls Loopy Lou.
Oh,
I know. Adorbs, right? So step one complete. She now has her perfect pet. Loopy Lou has settled in very well. And step two was to find a guy. So she hits the socials, obviously, including pictures of gorgeous Loopy Lou.
Obviously.
And one day lands on Don's profile, who, it turns out, is also a lover of mini English lops.
Aww.
So his feed is not just filled of online pictures of teeny mini English lops, but snaps of his very own. Because like Vivian, he's loved them since he was a kid, and his parents decided to get him too when he first mentioned his love for them. So now he's in his late 30s, and Don has had almost a dozen lops in his life. So no surprise, fast forward, Vivian and Don bond quickly over the lops, right? Vivian asking him all sorts of questions about looking after these guys. I mean, and he knows everything.
Okay.
Plus, he's cute as fuck.
Doesn't hurt. Okay.
Doesn't hurt. Animal lover, adorable.
Because I was spelling Don in my head like a morning Don, so I thought Don was a woman. So I was completely...
Oh. Well, Don has a penis.
Okay, Don has a penis.
Not there's any problem with vagines.
No.
Just Don
has a penis. Got it.
So she asks so many questions back and forth. They're flying, right? He's answering, she's asking, he's answering, she's asking. Then he finally just texts, look, why don't we meet for coffee and you can bring your list of 10,000 questions? Smiley face emoji.
Oh, magic's happening.
So she says, of course, yes. And they meet in this quaint, kooky coffee house and they sit and they talk long-eared lops for 2 full hours. She's furiously typing in the brands of specific toys and litters and foods and what to do if X or Y happens. And they both basically smile and laugh the afternoon away. And he texts a few days later and he says, look, it was really fun to meet you. And would you like to come and meet my 2 baby bunnies, Mimi and Nana? And I'll even show you how I prep their food. Yes, 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 she replies, right? She can't believe this is happening. So a week later, earlier today, in fact, Vivian dolls herself up, gives Loopy Lou the required number of cuddles and trots off
Prances.
Under Apache Sky to Don's, right?
Yes.
Who lives just 6 blocks away.
Oh, convenient. Wow, that's not far at all.
Very convenient.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, exactly. And she almost dies of, like, happiness when she sees these two, Mimi and Nana, right? Mimi's gray all over with the longest ears she's ever seen. Mm. Nana is, like, chocolate brown, patched with little white. And she drops to the floor and looks up at Don. Can this guy be for real? She thinks.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I know. And again, the hours fly by. See, it doesn't always have to be bad in the show. It doesn't always have to be bad.
But it usually is.
Mm. Maybe not. And Vivian feels giddy, right? She's in the loo and she's like having these baby fantasies about a life with Don, like their home filled to the brim with English lops.
Oh, honey, this shoe's going to drop and it's going to drop hard. Okay, I'm bracing myself.
But, you know, she goes, stop being silly, stop being silly. But she can't help herself, right? Her brain is just manufacturing these little images for her to think about. And she can't help it. She even winks at herself as she washes her
hands.
Oh,
my God.
Right?
That's when you know it's like... serious. When you're winking at yourself in the mirror, you're like, you're adorable. Wink.
Yeah. And blows herself a kiss.
Oh, my God.
And off she trots.
That's some good affirmation, you know. Go get him, girl.
And off she goes. And she comes around the corner into the living room and she sees Don lying on the floor, right? Wearing, you know, he's wearing his hoodie and there's like, there's Mimi poking out of one side of his hoodie pocket, and there's Nana poking out of the other side of his hoodie pocket, and he looks up and smiles, and she could die! She could die!
Is he still wearing his trousers? Is anything sticking out of random places?
No, it's all hanging out. No, he's still wearing his trousers.
Okay. I was going to say, and then she notices there's nothing below the waist, and I was like, oh, no. Okay.
She notices big pillar. No, no. Okay. This is outrageous.
Truly, truly outrageous.
But she needn't wonder very long because Don blurts out, look, Vivian, you know, he's pulling out the little bunnies from his pockets. He goes, you're just perfect. Okay, you're beautiful, you're smart, and you love Baby Lops.
Baby Lops.
And Vivian blushes and whispers, I kind of like you too, Don. So he looks at her. He doesn't say anything for a bit. He's looking right in her eyes. And he goes, listen, would you like to meet the rest of the family?
Shoe dropping. Shoe dropping. The shoe dropping. All right, bracing myself.
And she's like, a bit early, she's thinking in her head, to meet the siblings and the parents. But she just nods because she doesn't know what to say. And Don laughs and says, don't worry. And he takes her by the hand towards this closed door. And he says, okay, close your eyes. And she's like smiling and she does because she trusts him.
How could you not trust a guy who's really into bunnies? Right, okay, yeah.
And he opens the door and he gently pulls her in. He says, okay, open your eyes and meet Ava, Bebe, Coco, Doda, Ava, Finn, Gigi. And she stops listening at this point because the room is kind of beautiful. The room is painted in celestial blue on the ceiling and the walls have this woodland wallpaper and the floor has fake grass with these intricate paper flowers. And all around her are his old baby lop bunnies stuffed and fixed in these cute bunny poses.
No.
You know, some of them are lying on their backs.
No.
Some of them are about to hop. Some of them are on their hind legs, cutely looking up. And all of them are looking directly at her standing in the door. And he goes, I did this on purpose so every time I could just open the door and I see my whole family.
Oh, cruel. Oh, my God.
And this is my shrine, he says.
Okay, so this is probably one of my favorite sticky pickles that you've told me in a long time. And I want to tell you why. This is, in some circles, completely acceptable.
Yes.
And in others, like me, I'm like horrified. But many people do stuff like this, and there's nothing, in their view, there's nothing wrong with it.
I know.
Oh, jeez. You need a perfect sticky pickle for 2025. Kroll, you're a genius.
And he goes, I've never shown anyone this before because I was afraid of judgment, Maria.
Like me. I mean,
but now I know you love these pets as much as me. And you know, when they die, it's the saddest thing in the world. And
truly,
I just couldn't resist sharing it with you.
Over in October, some friends and I went to a cabin in northern Maine, like basically right on the border with Canada.
Right.
And we didn't know when we rented the cabin at the time, but we should have, that it was a hunting lodge. So it was just filled with the heads of dead animals mounted on the walls. Like, many of the people that I was going with are ardent vegetarians. There's like dead animals on the wall. Taxidermied, staring at us as we're drinking our wine. And I was like, you know, this is totally normal for a lot of people, and I'm horrified. This is the same thing where I'm just like, I know this is some people's thing, and I can't deal with it. Let dead things not be stuffed. Why don't
You're going to have to help Vivian, because we're fast forwarding a few hours and Viv is now dashing home, rucking, prancing home. And she's just received this text, right? Two awesome meets down. Shall we go for a perfect three? Let's hop, hop, hop to it. Smiley face emoji, Donnie X. Now, you're Vivian. What do you do now?
I don't know. Oh, my God.
Because he's so great. He's so great.
Oh, no. Okay, so, oh, no. I'm stuck. Because to me, I'm like, well, maybe Vivian's okay with it. If she has the same reaction I did, but everything else about this guy is on the up and up, is this a deal breaker?
What if he told you he stuffed them himself?
I want to die. This one's so hard. Oh, my God. Oh, to me, the whole taxidermy thing is like a very different attitude on death. And I'm just like, it's so unnatural. I'm very uncomfortable with it.
I don't know. Actually, I know I'm putting you on the spot here because
can't you just make a plaque with a photo on it?
What's wrong with pictures?
Like, let your poor dead animal rest in peace, not stuffy. Oh, man.
But she's curious, right? She's thinking, does he take them to bed ever? Right? To pet them? You know, does he talk to them?
Oh, I'm sure he talks to them.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I'm just thinking, God, he must be rich because he's living in a city and he's got a spare room. So, you know.
He's got a whole taxidermy room. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, that's expensive.
He's done well for himself.
You can put that on Airbnb. So many people pay for that.
We don't even know what he does. Maybe he's a professional taxidermist. Who knows?
Maybe. Maybe he's a mortician and this is like his side hobby. He's sick of dealing with dead humans. And he's like, you know what? Dealing with dead bunnies is how I relieve my stress.
Do you know, I think if I were in this situation, I'm thinking about this. Like, I haven't even done this. I wrote the story like 40 minutes ago. So I'm thinking I would probably try and see past it and keep dating the guy. I'd probably suggest we meet out for a while until I can, because I don't really want to hang out in the room and have picnics and the green grass and with the flowers and the bunnies.
Yeah. I mean, I could see if somebody was a very lonely person and those bunnies really were your only steady companionship and you had a very childlike maybe relationship with death, I don't know, then maybe this would be sort of a way of like avoiding the terrible crushing grief of it all. But that is an avoidance thing, and I think maybe with the support of a good friend or more, one could learn to more healthily accept the sad situation of, you know, the death of loved ones or pets, you know. That's me trying to philosophize.
Yeah, you just gave me this memory. I was visiting a friend, and at the time I smoked, so I was out in the garden having a cigarette, and over the fence was this kid, I don't know, maybe 10, and he was playing in a bucket, and he looked at me, and I'm like, hey, how's it going? He goes, great, and out of the bucket, he pulls a skull, right? A cat skull, and he's like, look, I love animals, animal bones. Look at this. Mom gave me a skull to wash, and I was like, okay. Put my cigarette up, went in.
That's so goth. Is Mama goth? Does she listen to The Cure? Wash this skull, Jimmy.
So, yeah, I found the kid a bit of freaky. But, yeah, I think I'd probably date him, but I would proceed with caution. because I know my heart's going, and my heart's going flippy-floppy, right? She seems really into this guy. And maybe after a while, you'd just be like, that's his thing, it's fucking crazy, but I love him, so who cares?
Yeah, I'm feeling the same way. I'm like, I think that's a thing where I'd be like, I'm really, that icks me out. Mm. But if everything else is great, that is not a deal breaker. It's just, a matter of taste. but boy, is it. I'm just like, ah! But, you know, Hunting Lodge 2.0 decor, I don't know what else to call it. It's just...
Well, it does get in fashion, doesn't it? I see it, you know, online occasionally. It's suddenly like taxidermy's all the rage. And I'm like, is it? Is it?
Yeah.
It's for some people. I think you're right. I think, like, some people, it's their thing. And, you know, you be you. But it's not for everyone.
You know, to be fair, I think most people who are into taxidermy know that. Know that their hobby is very niche.
He could have prepped her better rather than doing the whole I don't know how you would, though. I don't know how you prep someone for the this is gonna be a bit weird.
By the way, I'm super weird. I know that requires a level of self-awareness. You could be like, well, I actually moonlight for the Natural History Museum, where they have a lot of taxidermied extinct animals, and this is how I practice. Do you want me to practice on a Siberian tiger, or would you?
Let me know when your let me know when your lop dies. I'll do it for free. You know, God. Okay,
no.
I'm gonna end it there. I'm ending it there. Okay, your turn. Your turn, Maria. We're talking morning beer.
Morning beer.
Oh my God, and I'm doing dry January, so not that I've ever had a morning beer since I've been 20 or 25. No, maybe 30. No, I'm kidding. So, Maria, what is your sticky pickle?
So, a morning beer, aside from what it sounds like, is also a very specific phrase to describe how everybody loses all sense of time when you go into an airport. You know, it's like, it's 8 a.m.
Oh.
I'm going to have a morning beer. And it's like the airport beer that one has.
I find it hilarious, though. I love it, the morning flights. And I walk by the bars and there's all these people downing pints. And I'm like, I can't even stomach a coffee yet because it's 5 a.m. But yeah.
I know. And it's not like they've just flown in. Like, they just left their house, you know, a couple hours before. But they're just getting blitzed from there. So it's just like, that's the morning beer or an airport beer. Or, you know, there's different terms for it. But the one that I'm familiar with is the morning beer.
Okay.
Anyway, so we have two junior sales bros, Dan and Greg.
Dan and Greg.
This is their second sales job. So they're not brand new to sales, but they're still very junior. They're at that point in their career where they're very hungry for a good commission. And they're not making a lot of money, but they see those guys in the bullpen with, like, the really nice suits with the really nice matching pocket squares and the fancy watches. And they're like, we want to be that guy.
Yeah.
We want to be the dingus who bosses everybody else around and brags about his nice car and his fancy wife. You know, right? That guy.
Yeah, God. That guy. I've never worked sales. Like, I've worked, you know, when I was younger, I worked, like, in, you know, restaurants, you know, at the till and stuff. But I've never worked, like, getting minimal salary and my whole salary is bonus based.
That's hard. Yeah.
It's hard. I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then people are like, oh, you're so great because you sold this much money and you've got an extra 10 grand. You're like, yeah, I can eat. But then some are really good and they get the flash cars and the yada and the yadas. Yeah.
I really had one perception of sales guys before I ran a few jobs where I had to work with them a lot more. And then after going through those jobs, I have respect may not be the right word. But I do respect the amount of risk, especially the junior guys that they take on, because that is it's a hard gig. Mm. I would never, ever want to do it. I mean, I'm also the wrong person to do something like that. Anyway, it's not about me.
And it's an important job, right?
It is.
It keeps companies alive. It keeps money in the pocket. Yeah.
Makes the world go round, and not everybody can do it. I certainly could not do it.
Yeah, ditto. Mm-hmm.
Dan and Greg have a gift for it. They're making their way in the world of sales, but they're still very junior, which is a really precarious place to be. Because usually it means, like, you're more senior guys that are taking the big lucrative deals that are, like, guaranteed to come in. Mm-hmm. You're still fighting it out for the lower accounts where it's, like, not a guarantee. So you have to strategize, and you have to take on a lot of risk that the more senior guys don't want. Anyway, so that's where they are in their career. Mm-hmm. They are flying out that morning to a deal that is make or break for both of them. It's a new account. It's with an old, old company that they've been they knew that the company's been trying to win over for ages, but nobody's been able to crack this one.
Right.
And it's one of those things, like, they know if they get this, they'll be legends in their company. They'll make a killer commission. They might even get a promotion, so they won't have to be so precarious with the jobs they take on.
It's the big win. It's the big win.
Big win. Thank you. It's a good summarization. Big win.
Mm.
So they're still at the point in their career also where they're flying cattle class. You know, there's no business class or first class for these two. They are going to be in the way back in coach, squished in. And Dan is in, he's in the aisle seat. He managed to finagle the aisle seat. Poor Greg is stuck in the middle seat, and they know that the window seat is going to be occupied. So they're like, okay.
Why the flip do planes, are they designed that way to have like three seats? Like, how many people travel in trios? You know, like, why wouldn't you just have a window side and a, you know?
I must be the only person that works for, because I have a child. There are three of us.
Yeah.
And we travel in a group of three. So it's like, we are the only situation that ever works for. But even then, I hate it. So, you know, it's fine. But for business travel, it stinks because it's usually just one person. So there's always that one guy who's just like stuck in the middle and it stinks.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they've had their morning beer, and by morning beer, I mean many. You know, they've been watching basketball at the airport bar, and they've had, like, a lot to drink. But that's giving them liquid courage to get ready for their, their big deal that's later that afternoon. So it's like one of those morning flights.
Uh-oh.
You land 2 hours later,
yeah.
You're making the deal, right?
Smart guys. I gotta say, smart move. Okay. So they're wankered on a plane. Okay.
Well, the reality is a lot of times that's often all that the company will pay for. They're like, we're gonna do the absolute least.
That's true.
and you just have to deal with it because you're junior. So what else? Like, tough luck. So they're completely slizzard, and they're getting on that plane, and they're looking around, and they're noticing, like, yeah, they're taking stock of who's on the plane, and they cannot help but notice this one dork who's wearing like an oversized suit with very large, like, very 70s lapels. This thing looks like it came off a dead body. Speaking of, like, a nice segue from yours, like, somebody's grandpa died and this was the suit that they inherited, and they're like, I'm gonna wear it. Like, very leisure suit, polyester. The shoes are just, they look like they've seen better days. They're not falling apart in a like a hobo type way where, like, you can see the toes, but okay. It's beyond scuffed up. Like, they just look really, really bad. Like, the leather is really coming off in chunks.
And there's nothing funnier when you're half tanked than someone who looks a bit odd. Yeah. Okay.
That's true. And of course, sales guys are known for their sensitivity and tact. So they're noticing. They're noticing all this, and they're doing the whole elbow, like, get a load of that guy. Especially since that guy looks like he weighs, like, 70 pounds wet. He's just scrawny as hell, wearing an oversized suit, bad shoes, his laptop bag. Looks like it's from 1992 when, you know, it all came from the consignment store, and it all fits very poorly. And Dan and Greg, sales geniuses that they are, very judgy, but also very drunk. And Dan turns to Greg and goes, that guy reminds me of my math professor in college. And Greg's like, you took math? So, ha, 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 ha. They're just giving each other shit. Ha, 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 ha.
You're hilarious, Dan. No, you are, Greg.
So they're what? Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. That's, you know exactly the dynamic. Those guys. These are those guys, okay?
Can I just say, I've never even dated a sales rep in my life. So, you know, my information,
but we all know this. We all know these guys. We've worked with these guys. We know them, right? Yeah. They start boarding the plane, and they get into their seat at the correct time, and they notice that the window seat is still empty, but the plane is being held. They're like, we're waiting for one last passenger. We know they have checked in. We're just looking for them in the concourse because mm-hmm. they're here. And everybody's getting very annoyed. And of course, they're looking at the empty seat, and they're going, I bet it's our guy. I bet this guy, I bet the guy next to us is the last guy. Lo and behold, indeed, the plane door, they see Mr. Scrawny running in, panting, looking a complete mess, even more so than earlier. And wouldn't you bet anything, that's the guy that's going to be sitting next to Dan and Greg.
Do you know what? They should be fucking grateful that he's scrawny, because, you know, the way the seats are now on the plane, Jesus.
True.
Okay.
Yeah, and Dan and Greg are not small dudes. They work out. So they're like,
Big guys.
But, you know.
Big boys.
They're like the gains. And this little dude, you know, it's not his fault that he's little, but he happens to be a little guy. He's struggling to get in his seat because, of course, Dan and Greg, they don't really move.
They probably can't stand up.
They just sort of expect him to scramble over them. And this guy, in addition to looking the way he's looking, there is a strong weed smell just emanating from this gentleman. Mm. but it's also covering like a really strong BO smell. So it's that mix of like skunk weed and like stale BO on polyester.
Musk. Musky.
Do you like that mix?
No. I have met someone who told me, yeah, I don't wear deodorant. I love the smell of my own musk. And I was like, okay, wow. Wow.
Mm. Was their name Elon? Just kidding. I had to do it. So the guy sits down. The smell is emanating from this person. And I should mention, Dan, he's had those morning beers at the airport. He's already not feeling 100. Not a big surprise, because 3 airport bar beers.
On an empty stomach.
Some airport oysters Rockefeller. Yeah, oysters Rockefeller also in the mix. Just throwing that one out there, because he's like, expensing it. The company doesn't care. I've got a per diem. Nothing's sitting quite right, but Dan's like 27, so he figures he can just sort of muscle through it. Little does he know, once he turns 30, it's all over. Anyway, the plane takes off. They're managing Dan and Greg and Mr. Stinky over there.
Right.
And Dan and Greg, once the plane reaches cruising altitude, they figure, now's a good time for us to discuss strategy. Like, let's recap what we're going to be doing. So they get out the laptop. Greg's in the middle, Dan's on the edge, and they're looking at Greg's laptop in the middle. And Greg's like, you know, if they come in at this price, we can offer this to sweeten the deal, but definitely downplay that. There's a lot of inside, and they're reviewing some numbers about if they make this deal, you know, how much commission it's going to get them and how good it's going to be for the company, because otherwise they're on the precipice of layoffs and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Are they going to play good sales guy, bad sales guy as well? Are they planning that as well?
they're reviewing their options. Like, you know, you're going to come in here. Well, we'll see what I can do about that. Oh, no, I can get you that deal. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. They're reviewing all of those options. They're not exactly being quiet about it. They're not. And I should note, because you and I are both security types, there is a privacy screen on Greg's laptop. One of those little those filters where you can't see it from the edge. But Dan does notice that Mr. Scrawny at the window is shoulder surfing just a little bit, just being super little tiny bit nosy and looking at it.
Okay.
So he angles the laptop a little bit. Anyway, so Mr. Scrawny, after the laptop is turned, Mr. Scrawny starts having tray table trouble.
Oh.
He can't seem to get the damn thing to work. And Greg decides to be a good guy, nice and polite, and he tries to help. But as he's helping with the tray, it kind of flops down really fast, and the tomato juice that was right next to his laptop goes all over Dan and Greg's laptop. So you're Dan.
Mm-hmm.
You have gurgly tummy from beers, oysters Rockefeller, and now tomato sauce, tomato juice all over yourself.
Yeah. You look like a serial killer.
Yeah, looking like a serial killer. The smell is unreal. And Dan is understandably pissed off at Greg. Like, what the hell are you doing, fucking idiot? What is this, your first time flying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's feeling nauseous and also pissed off because now he's all ruined.
Mm-hmm.
They land looking a mess, smelling a mess, feeling a mess, green around the gills. What do you do once you've landed? You've got to go to your deal in like 2 hours. How do you turn this around if you're Dan and Greg? I'm just curious at this point.
I think what I would do, were that my situation, is I would buy something in the airport. I would buy some clothes at the best price I could. Like, you can't wash that shit off. Tomato sauce.
No, and that's assuming there is a place to buy stuff, because some airports are really tiny. Yeah. They don't have any amenities like that.
Or you just tell the cab, you get a cab and you're saying you're stopping at the first man shop, you know, whatever.
Yeah, yep.
And
that's
true. get some new threads. I mean, that's all you can do.
Yeah, that you just deal.
Yeah, or if you can't do that, you have to come in and say, I'm really sorry, I feel embarrassed. Or at least buy a coat or something, you know, like, or sweater. You just buy a sweater. If he's wearing dark trousers, you can probably get away with it.
So feeling nauseous. He smells like tomato juice. He's probably got a bit of the BO and weed reek sticking to him just because he was next to that guy for so long.
Right.
And he's like, you know what? Throw a sweater over.
He'll be fine.
You'll be fine. Just make the deal happen. You'll be fine. You know, it's not a bad idea. So maybe let's just say that that's exactly what Dan does. He's like, I gotta close this deal. So you can probably guess what happens when they get to the company and they're sitting down at the negotiating table. Who is at the head of that table?
Mr. Scrawny.
This just happened to be dumb luck.
Right.
But Dan and Greg they recognize this guy and they recognize that he heard their entire playbook.
Mm-hmm.
So this is my genuine, like, I don't even know how I would resolve this. Like, if you have just discussed your entire playbook in a situation like this, and the guy next to you knows that, like, you're nauseous, feeling smelly, you've told him how desperate you are, and he knows all this, do you just not even bother at that point? I mean, like, what do you do?
Okay, this is a good one too, Maria. I think, what the fuck, make a play for it. Do the best that you can. Because if you don't, if you walk out of there, they're just going to call the office and you've lost your job.
True.
So it's time to just kiss those shitty shoes, right, of Mr. Scrawny's and say, look, I'm going to give you, I understand the situation completely, own up, fess up and saying, look, we had beers, we're stupid, we didn't move, we were, you know, making jokes, we didn't help you, you know, we helped you with the tray, we got pissed off, this is a mess, we are going to give you the absolute best deal, which is going to hurt our commission, but I'm willing to do this for zero if you sign. For us to get commission. So we'll give you rock bottom price.
Damn, Kroll.
And your job is to sign and never tell our company this happened. And we have learned our bloody lesson. Please, God, please.
Sales bros, take note. That is some interesting advice, honestly. Getting no commission so you can't pay your rent. But you made the sale.
But you don't lose your job.
You don't lose your job, which means you might be able to pay rent next month.
Exactly. What would you do?
Honestly, I would say I'd probably call a friend in the nearby town. Hopefully I know somebody nearby and be like, listen, I need to brief you on the situation. You're going to be us and we're going to do a little Cyrano de Bergerac. I'm going to get an earpiece in your ear and tell you. No, I wouldn't do that. But you could try it. It would be really fun.
Yeah, but they're already in the room, right? They're already there. Like, yeah. Everyone knows. Everyone is now fully aware. So
it's true. But then you could go, well, we're actually just the AV guys. We're just here to set up the laptops. We're going to get the actual sales guys. And then it'll be a couple hours. But we'll be back.
Oh, that's smart. I like that. We're just here to set up the laptop that you ruined. No.
Mr. Scrawny.
Yeah, I think you need to make friends. And I think this is a very valuable lesson, is not to judge people too quickly, especially if you're trying to make a buck, because you never know.
You really never know. And often enough, like, quirky, wealthy people that own companies, they got to that place through some very, very weird things, like never wearing updated clothing or maybe wearing the suit of their dead grandpa because, you know, it saves them a buck. You never know.
Or maybe just carry Minnie, a lop-eared bunny, in your pocket and then hand it over to Mr. Scrawny going, look at his cute little face.
Oh, but this
and
one's then, of course, dead, the deal's but it's closed. Okay.
I know a guy.
Gross.
That's it for this episode of Sticky Pickles. If we made you smile, you know what to do. Leave us a review, or better yet, donate a buck or three.
Yes, and we have a Patreon. $3 gets you all our love and helps us pay our fees. So find us at patreon.com/stickypickles. Plus, you can find us on Instagram at stickypicklespod. And as always, thank you for listening.
Yes, loads of love, guys, and see you in a few weeks. I think we're back on schedule.
Boom!
Boom!
Oh my god. We did it! We did it! We did it! We did it! We did it!
We did it! We did it! And you have 13 minutes to go and breathe and say hi to your daughter.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah, she's been stomping around looking for the cats, and they're both sleeping in my office.